It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my very, 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 very good friend in studio, Mr. Anderson. You know, this is, we've been doing this, we were young men when we were doing it. And we'll go ahead, line up, we'll take your calls.
We're young men.
Yeah. And you're looking kind of bald there, Holmes. Of course, that was a razor. But, you know, what we're going to do is we'll take calls at the bottom of the hour. You know, 800-313-9443. You know, everybody wants to go after. We're already done with Sheriff Mack. Had your chance. What we're going to go ahead and do is just reminisce a little bit. But Bob and I have been at this forever. Let me tell you a little bit of the history in this short segment here, and then we'll get into it. I became Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party in December of 93. At that time, right after Waco had happened, Ruby Ridge, we had a lot of, at the time, Bob's best friend, Lon Weber, he was cousin to Randy Weaver. Now, they all worked out at the Palo Verde nuclear power plant. They're young. They're out of the Navy. They were on, the Enterprise. They're doing all kind of nuke stuff there. So they come in with a wave of people that they needed technicians and so on for the Palo Verde nuclear plant. So these are young men out of the military, get there. They got some money. You know, they're kind of, what can we do? And they're reading magazines. And, John Birch Society's got stuff going on. The Patriot movie's starting to go out. We got movement. We have, all these incursions by the federal government, the growth of government, read my lips, no new taxes, here come the taxes, here comes gun control. And everybody's like, whoa, what the heck? They went to a libertarian meeting one time. I happened to be speaking or there, and I just became chairman. And they're going, yeah, well, he said, let's go whip butt. So we decide, I go, okay, well, if we're going to do this, we need this and this and this and this and this. And one of the things that Bob did, our printing press that we have here, an old AB Dick 360, everybody's, really entranced with that printing press because it's such a low serial number. It's like one of the first ones made or something back in the 50s. So this, and it's a classic. I mean, it's an offset printing press, but he bought that back in 94. To have without the internet, okay? I mean, your high-tech sending stuff out was, fax. So we had the ability to just mass-produce flyers, pamphleting. It was like, it was like the revolution. It was like Paul Revere, the copper engraving, the Boston Massacre kind of stuff. So what we were doing is making trifolds. We go to different companies. I mean, we would just, dang it, man, they knew what we were doing, and they just started doing web pages. You could send somebody to a web page. So you could have one card, one flyer, one brochure, one leaflet, and just saturate an event or something, and people go to get more information. We knew what was coming. Freedom's Phoenix, the whole concept of that was born a long time ago. We were making newspapers. We were doing all kinds of stuff because we had faith in humanity, in people. We had faith in freedom. We knew that there are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. It wasn't that complicated. So Bob and I, we've matured, married and kids and back and forth and grown up. And now we got, it's just we're a whole nother generation. Now, just in the last couple of years, we start to realize, hey, we're not the young guys anymore. We got a whole nother crowd coming. Ooh, and what they be doing. And that foundation and the information they got came from where? Oh, from all of us just doing it. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mr. Anderson from Tonopah, which is west of Phoenix out here. How far is Tonopah from Phoenix?
45, 50 miles. Longer than one day's walk.
That was kind of the point. Well, this is, let me go ahead and give you the history real quick. Robert Anderson, you know, financially he's got it going on. I mean, he's okay. He's got a job. You know, and but he's in the West Valley here having to drive way out, you know, 50 miles west of Phoenix all the time. And then all of a sudden the valley starts growing and growing and traffic's getting bad and you're living on the freeway. And he's like, heck no. Plus, I need more land anyway. So he goes out and he buys some land and he starts experimenting. Okay, he's going to be off grid. And he's able to do a lot of things. You know, one of the things that he does is he brews Bob beer. I mean, I remember him going through the process years ago and there was like, not that one. And he got it dialed in. And he asked, he goes, well, can we drink beer on the radio on your show? And I go, no. But we can pretend like we are, as far as you know.
Cheers.
Cheers. And the thing is that it's, you know, Bob's pretend beer here that we're pretend drinking is I mean, it's good. And there's going to have – what kind of value does that have in a society – where freedoms are being, you know, because we were talking about this, the Whiskey Rebellion. That was right. They started tacking. The federal government got to have some money. We need more money. In addition to the duties and all this kind of, we're going to get some taxes on some whiskey. You know, that's the first little drug war thing going on. And what did Washington do? Immediately, he raises, I don't know, 12,000-17,000, you know, men, goes and quashes things. Oh, yeah, we are. Yes, we can. Give me money. And that was, oh man, they were already starting to go down the dark side with this Constitution thing from the beginning. Well, there's been a lot written about that, but you'll never get it in 7th, 8th grade junior high civics class. I can guarantee you that.
My kids will.
Yeah. That's another thing. You know, we, you know, privately school or homeschool our own children. We have, you know, that's why homeschools are such a pain in the butt, you know. And Wayne Allen Root, you know, my competition for LNC Chair, he was on Fox yesterday. His daughter homeschooled to Harvard. You know, he got his daughter. She's going to Harvard from homeschool. I'm like, man, you got to give him street cred for that one. That's good. And Dakota, she's a really smart girl. I didn't hear her speech in 08 in Denver, but my wife did. She was very impressed with her. So that's it. You know, all these, this whole thing is, well, we disagree on a lot of different things. I'm telling you, there's a common thread here. Let me tell you what thread is. The whole purpose of government is to allow us to do the kind of things that Bob is. I am afraid that, you know, the more independent you are, the more autonomous you are, the more self-sustaining you are, the more self-sufficient you are, that those are the guys that get targeted. Oh, no. You're a bad example to, I don't know, the drones. You know, can't have that. So tell the people what you did. You went out there and some of the things that you have going on totally off the grid, totally. Bob is the experiment. You know, and his new little project now is collecting water. I mean, he has a well and so on, but go ahead and start from the beginning and give us a quickie, man.
Well, back about 10 years ago, it's been now, I met the love of my life and decided to settle down and have a couple of kids. And as you say, the valley was growing big, and I worked about an hour west of town and didn't want to spend a fair portion of my life on the freeway driving back and forth when I could be at home with my wife and kids. And so we decided to buy some land out there in, by the power plant. So we did some looking around, and I didn't want to have some flat piece of desert. So we found some land back up against the mountains that was kind of scenic and tucked away. Downside of it was it didn't have any electricity or water, and it was going to be a sizable investment to bring water and or power to the land. So I told my wife at the time, I said, if you want to do this, we can make this happen, and I guarantee you, you'll never notice a difference than it would be if you had a house in town.
Well, you know, this is the thing, Bob, is, you know, very smart guy, very, you know, he's one of those kids that algebra will, too, be important in my life. So later, you know, you can do the math. I mean, it's just like, you know, this makes this much, this draws this much, this has this much need for, I do, and there's math, blah, 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 boom, this is what I need.
Well, a lot of it comes down to the internet, too. We talked earlier about how the internet has changed activism. Well, a lot of the research I did is just other people have done this. The information's out there. You just have to go find it.
You just got to know what question to ask first.
10 to 15 years ago, you couldn't find this stuff. You know, you talk about activism and bootstrapping and the young generation coming up. And they talked about, you know, in science fiction shows about computers that they can learn instantaneously generation to generation that, you know, for humans, we have to have a baby and go through youth in school to learn what the lessons we had. When computers, it's instantaneous. So that what's learned by the first generation of computers is instantaneously transferred at the moment of correction or the moment of conception to the new generation of computers. Well, the internet's like that for our knowledge of things like, you know, doing solar and these things. The information's out there. You got to know the question to ask and go look for it. And that's basically what I did. I went and found the information I needed to basically put together a system, because it's anybody who can wire a plug, black wire, white wire, you can do solar yourself. You don't have to have some schooled installer come out and do it.
But you should be learning this in grade school.
Absolutely. And again, my kids will. My kids will be learning what, white wire, black wire, they're going to know it.
They're going to be consultants at 10.
and because, well, you know, as they get older, they're just going to have to run the property. My property, you have to operate my property. It's not automatic. You know, a lot of people don't like the idea that, you know, I have to actually go out and change the oil in what provides my electricity, you know. So how many people have to go out and change the oil in their electric meter? Not very many. I have a generator out there during the summertime. I have to take care of it. I have to, you know, change the filters on it and change the oil in it. And that's what my youngins are going to do when they get a little bit older.
Okay, let me go ahead and give you an inventory of how he's done this. Raw land. I mean, just, you know, absolutely nothing land. But, I mean, it's beautiful out there. I mean, it's just really nice. And you're just – and the temperatures aren't that high because you're not have all this concrete around you. So here we're out in the beautiful Saddleback Mountain. You got all these – it's like – if you've seen the old Lost Dutchman Mine movies with Superstition Mountains and all that
kind
of –
John Wayne.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. So it's just beautiful. We love going out there and spending time, you know, but there's always – you're in an outage or something, which means they take the core out of the plant, you know, three times a year or so. And he's just – you're like 24/7 got to deal with this. Either I'm working or sleeping, you know, one of those deals. But this is what he did. He went and got a Palm Harbor home. Now, these modular prefab homes, you know, and it's not really a mobile home. It's more
it's
like
a manufactured house.
Yeah, it's a manufactured
house. Bolted together.
And, but it's really, I don't know, what are you, like 2,500 square feet or something?
It's a big home.
Oh, it's a big house, okay? And he's got a big patio, you know, with deck on it, with a, you know, a canopy and everything. You got the backyard kind of cinder block fenced in for certain air for different things. You got a well. You know, it gives you all the water you ever needed for your house. He has big water tanks. He has solar panels. He has a battery storage in the ground in a big, you know, thing underground.
Bunker.
Well, what it was is he dug a big hole and he made a 10-foot cube cinder block little thing in the ground and then built a shed on top of it, which has a winch, like you can lower everything down into a trap door and so on. All the batteries are down there. Cool. I mean, you know, I mean, I better than not. So you got that. So that stores it. Then he's like, oh, I want to play with wind. I like, because it's always blowing out here, man. It's just a real pain in the butt. Now it's not a pain in the butt anymore because we got a windmill. And, man, that's just rocking and rolling. So then he has, you know, like sea container storage out there doing different things with. He has a garage that he built in the back that kind of became an apartment. Oops. And that was kind of, you know, so you're dealing with the law, man. It's just, yeah, whatever. So he has a, like, 900 square foot thing back there. So your son's back there. Then we have your stepson. Then you have solar power, wind power. You have generator backup when you need extra power in the summer for the air conditioner and using the pump to fill the water. You have your own septic tank. You have satellite communication when it comes to television and internet, and you got cell phone. We're talking totally off grid. Totally.
You have this all on tape somewhere, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We did video of this. We put that up. I think we have it up somewhere. But, you know, this is – we went out there, and the guys there were just so entranced with this. These young guys went out with their camera and did the whole videotape of this thing just to see it. Because if you have it all integrated together – because he's got it all. You operate from the house. I mean, this is a nice house. This is a modern-day living. Big kitchen with an island in there and a big family room and the living room and the bedrooms and the kids running around and everything. It's already done. It's, you think that this is, well, if we could fix. No, he's been doing. How long have you been living out there?
Yeah, we're coming up on probably 6 years.
6 years totally off grid. I tell you what, the detriment of you being out there, a lot of people go buy land. Well, he's out there. They go and they buy land and go, okay, well, we want power. Well, that'd be $30,000.
Oh, when we first moved out there, I can't remember how many people drove up the driveway just to introduce themselves that were basically our land-owning neighbors. They didn't live there, but they owned land there. And they'd come out there and drive up, and they could tell them as they're introducing themselves and talking to me, they're kind of looking around at the meter and trying to figure out where the heck the wires were. And there weren't any because they were hoping I brought power out there because that would increase the value of their land, and then they'd be able to develop their land. And we didn't have any wires.
Oh, no wires off-grid and far enough away. More than a day's walk from the marauding hordes across the desert. We'll talk about it more and some of the other new projects he has coming on in the desert.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mr. Robert Anderson as we are pretend drinking Bob beer. That's got some pretend alcohol in it, man. I mean, dang. You know, one thing that we wanted to make sure that you got is, when you get off grid, technology is really allowing us. I mean, a lot of people are in different areas. You have access to, hydropower, solar power, wind power, wave power, whatever power. Because it's always going to come down to power. And this oil thing, man, they're just going, Matt, we're going to need oil, It doesn't matter. Flood the marshes with, freaking oil. Louisiana can be a sewer for all they care. We're going to turn it into New Jersey. We don't care. Need the oil, So I'm just like, all this oil independence thing to create Department of Energy and we're more dependent on foreign oil now and all this. It's just a game. They never think of the individual. They never approach the individual. It's always this collective, consolidated down from the top ivory tower thing. And I'm going, wow, man, there's so many examples out there. And Bob has been able to tap into this movement. How has it expanded and developed over just the 6 years that you've been out there? I mean, what's the increased opportunities for somebody to live off grid?
Oh, there's quite a bit out there. Solar power panels have actually come down in cost. They're going up for a while. And, of course, there's always the new technologies that you can never buy. But, they're working on the brakes, and it's come down. It's still pretty expensive. But when you're looking at buying a piece of raw land compared to what it costs you to bring power in, you can really offset the cost of the initial investment into the original loan and make it very worthwhile doing. It's quite feasible.
I mean, because we're so hot in the summer, you have to run a generator so many hours a day to, cool. But from the solar panels, I would say you have the equivalent of about 4x8 sheets of plywood as solar panels.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
So how many more panels like that do you, that much area to be able to run an air conditioner?
Well, it isn't so much the probably about 3 times what I'd have to be able to run my air conditioner. It's storing the power to be able to run the air conditioner at night that really becomes an issue, because you got to not only make what you're using at the moment, but you'd have to make enough of when the sun doesn't shine. And the sun doesn't shine pretty much half the day. So that's one of the downsides of running solar power and trying to do mechanical air conditioning. But it's not that undifferent than people in the Northeast who, they have to have an oil truck back up to their house and fill their tank up so they can run their furnace. I have an oil truck come up and fill up my tank so I can run my air conditioner for a couple of months a year.
Well, your cost for doing that, so let's average it out over a 12 months. I mean, you're still paying a utility bill. It's or diesel for your generator.
Yeah, I got a couple $100 a month electric bill is basically what it comes down to.
Which is about what it is or more here in the valley for that big a house anyway.
I know people have houses that are as big as mine in town that pay a significantly amount more money than that, than what I'm paying.
But, I mean,
my power doesn't go out nearly as much.
Well, that's another thing. That's one thing that Bob does because he's butthead. When the power goes out, which happens every time there's a storm, the whole valley out there where he's at, you know, boom, power goes out. Turns on the spotlights. Yeehaw! And he's making a target, man. Well, that's another thing you use. You started finding out that these Christmas lights, these LED lights, you know, do they even draw any power?
No. In fact, we've replaced it. Basically, our outside lighting now is, you know, I'm a real hillbilly. I can still get my Christmas lights up, but I got a big string of white Christmas lights that we have running around the deck out there for mood lighting that we basically use as our outside light because they don't pull hardly anything to illuminate compared to even one of these, you know, Save the World, CFL, I'm full of mercury, twisty light bulb things. We're going LED. That's the way to go.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, just for a second, let's talk about that. They want to do these fluorescent replacement of incandescent lights. And there's some lobby somewhere for something on that because that's got so many problems. LED is so much less power. It's so much better to use. It draws so much less energy. And they're pushing these fluorescents. What the heck?
I think it's just that, you know, as the government does, they're just slow to respond. Technology moved past them. They all thought these CFLs were the wave of the future, invested so much time and effort into promoting them that the technology left them behind. It's already, you know, they're pushing typewriters. When the internet's been invented, just because they can't keep up.
They don't know any better. It's just, oh. We've seen this. You know, Bob and I don't think we know. We know! We've been doing this for like 15, 20 years together. And I'm just going, you know, wow, the government is so slow. It's so inept. It's so inefficient. It's so. And it's so outside the box. Now, do you feel that... you're going to be targeted? Who would target you? I mean, you're more than a day's walk. When things get bad, there's that, oh, there, look at that hill over there. There's a light.
No, there won't be a light on when things get that bad. But, you know, when you say targeted, it depends on what you mean by that. I mean, do you think we're going to...
He might have food!
You know, do we plan on, fallen degenerating down to the point where it's like, you know, a world of Mad Max, you know, that's entirely different than just like, you know, the collapse of the Soviet Union and what happened over there with the civilization. Basically, you got a plan to survive those kind of things, you know, it's or at least make it so that the pain isn't as much. That's kind of what we're looking at. You know, we saw what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed. And, you know, it's probably a really important thing to be able to have a little food. So, you know, we have a garden and we're learning to, you know, grow food. You got chickens.
Chicken.
And you know, you gotta barely eat.
Let me tell you what happened. In order to be able to run his diesel generator, he's got, what was it, jojoba beans or something you could plant and make biodiesel.
Yeah, you can run a generator off of alcohol. Here, pass that fake bottle over here.
You know, there's so many things. But when we come back, you know, last year, he didn't have enough water to keep his fruit trees really healthy. So he had an idea. We'll talk about that. More innovations when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah, Lunatic Fringe, I know you're out there. And you're not in hiding, you're in here. It's Mr. Robert Anderson. You know, when I first started doing my radio show back in February of 2003, he goes, Ernie, you got to do this Lunatic Fringe thing. So I made it part of my opening, you know, like we have Morpheus up there going, we are not afraid. You know, my first thing was this Lunatic Fringe thing because Bob had to have it, man.
I still like it.
It was good. So that was Bob's addition to the show. And I remember when we first started promo, before I even went on, we were promoing the show, you know, they have like a week or two, you know, coming, you know, here comes Ernest Hank, Declare Your Independence thing. And we had a friend of ours, Tim Weaver, did this voice. He goes, Ich bin Helmut from the Office of Homeland Security. We recommend you do not listen to the Ernest Hancock Show, Declare Your Independence. They'll know if you're listening, you know, that kind of stuff. And we just had fun. They're like, and the owner of the radio station in Scottsdale that I was on was Jewish. And he's like, I'm not sure I want that on my show, on my radio station. And I go, well, it's an opposition to this. I mean, it's a parody on, I don't know, man. I don't like it, you know. So we've had a lot of fun with this stuff for a long time. But what I wanted to share with you, you know, Bob and I, this is what's going on. I'm going to, leaving tomorrow to go to the national convention of the Libertarian Party in St. Louis. And I just came from Michigan, you know, another debate and all this kind of stuff. And I'm seeing that, you know, a lot of these libertarians now that go to these conventions, they're new libertarians. They've only been around for, you know, 1 to 3 election cycles. That's it. I mean, they're probably, you know, 85% of them have been libertarian just in the last few years. And a lot of the real hardcore libertarians, like, we've moved on. I mean, you know, the joke is, what's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? About 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention. It's once you get it, you start going, oh, okay, I get it. This government thing, it's just a game they play. And so what's happened is there are more libertarians outside of the Libertarian Party than inside. Well, we need to have a very clear decision in St. Louis. Are we going to be this hardcore challenge the cult of the omnipotent state, challenge this adoration, this worship of an all-powerful, all-knowing state? Because when they created the Libertarian Party, the Nixon administration had done EPA and OSHA and wage and price controls and all this big government crap, just like it's going on, went off the gold standard. You know, the Bretton Woods Agreement fell apart, you know, and inflation started skyrocketing and had all. So this is, we knew. We knew. It was just a matter of math. It was sooner or later, and they kept it going so long that the crash is going to be monu-freaking-mental, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It is math. We just want to survive it. And because Bob and I, we've taken, you know, kind of the same path, we understand, we're good friends, and he's kind of, yeah, Ernie, you go out and fight that, and I'll help you when I can and everything, but guess what?
I'm growing food.
So, and we've been doing that. We've been, you know, playing it back. You need to get chickens, man. I know the coyotes out there want to play with your chickens. But, you know, tell us about the water thing that you did. Because you were kind of, you wish you had more water. I mean, you got, how much water does your well do? What will that, you know, waterify?
I wonder what coyote tastes like.
You may have to find out.
Yeah. Well, you know, out of all the things we did out there is that, you know, I have really great water. But, again, out in the desert.
It is awesome water. Man, you bottle and pay for that stuff. Yummy.
It's some of the best water I've had. And I came from New England. We had all kinds of artesian wells and, you know, spring water and stuff like that. And my water out here is better than that.
Must be the radiation.
Yeah, it's something. But, you know, but there's not a lot of it. You know, even with a well, I'm limited on the amount of water that I can produce out of the ground. And to really, you know, have my land bloom the way I want to, I could use some more water. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. I just was reading an article that came out in National Geographic, and it just so happened I was going through it, and there's a whole articles on basically people in a lot of these, you know, really arid countries, particularly like over in the Middle East and that, in, you know, Tibet and those areas, they harvest water. And it's just way of culture. They spend multi-generations, thousands of years sculpting the land to do nothing but terrace and move water into these big cisterns that for whole villages and towns, that it's just a way of life. And they have far less water than Arizona or where I live out in the desert. And there's times when I'm out in the desert that we get rain. It is way more water than you can use. It just all comes at once.
Well, you're kind of in like a floodplain thing there anyway.
Yeah. You know, I get water sometime during the summer storms that are so much. I mean, I'll have an inch of standing water on the ground for as far as the eye can see damn near. And so, you know, the idea came across after reading these articles that, you know, all I need to do is find a way to capture it. So that's my next project. Is I'm in the middle of basically constructing a large water catchment that's going to take a lot of this water that 5-6 times a year runs across my land and basically store it in an underground reservoir that I'm building, and I'm just going to take this water and use it as...
Well, how are you building it? What is it, just cinder blocks or something?
No, I just had someone come out and dig a big hole in the ground down at the low area on my property where a lot of these little rivulets come together as the land drains off. Because if you go over a piece of land for a while, you can kind of walk it and kind of see how the water moves.
That's what Google Earth is for.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Okay, Google Earth, you can tell where the water moves. And so, you know, again, another thing, the internet, it's changing things. You know, average people couldn't have satellite
imagery. So you get the
imagery.
Topography of your land. You got, you know, how many acres do you have?
I have just under 9 acres.
So it's not enormous, but I mean, it's enough.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, there's nobody lives around me. I mean, basically the thousands of acres that around me, you know, until somebody comes out and builds on them, I just kind of treat them like mine because there's nobody there. It's just wide
open.
That
mule deer is mine.
there's just nothing there. And so, you know, we dug a big catchment there, and I'm going to basically take some concrete particle board or that they use for shower concrete board that you put tile on in like your bathroom, and I'm going to line the hole with that so to keep my pond liner, and I'm just going to line it with regular pond liner that you can buy off the internet or at a pond store for making these little koi ponds where you have fish and lily pads and stuff in your backyard, and I'm just going to catch, with the hole I have dug, I'm probably going to catch probably about 5,000-6,000 gallons of water on any given occasion.
And so what is that? That's like, I don't know, above ground pool or something, like that?
Yeah, it's in ground pool, basically.
Yeah,
and that's
what
I'm constructing. It's that kind of, that amount of water, and that's going to be able to do me, because really the critical time for me out there where I'm at is only right now, is basically May, June, July kind of time frame. Short of that, the rest of the year, it's not hot enough, or there's enough natural rain happening during that time period that if I can get through that 3 to 3.5 month period of really dry, hot weather, I'll be golden.
Because, you know, you're using your gray water to keep your fruit trees alive and so on. I mean, you're like, hey, you know, I got a nut tree. I got me this tree, that tree, a lemon tree, a citrus tree, you know, whatever. And they need water. I mean, that's one thing. A lot of people don't know. Arizona is the number one producer in cotton. They're number 2 or 3 in oranges, or used to be. They're, you know, you add water to 300-something days of sunshine, things get green. That is just the way it is. You know, add water, desert grow. I mean, that's just the way it is. Southern California, that's where, you know, all the agriculture came from, is them diverting water.
Yeah, take a drive through Imperial Valley. They feed the nation.
So this is, you know, all you got to do is have water. Well, he's, you know, all you need is, you know, one rainstorm, and all of a sudden it's filled again.
Yeah, it will be that easy once I get this thing.
I mean, how long would it take to fill? 10 minutes? I mean,
literally 10, 15 minutes.
It's just amazing, because you have these little washes and you have this entire flood, but boom, done. Like that. You can do, I need more. I'll do another one. Like that. Another one? Like that. This is how humanity has survived for thousands of years. But we're all, no, you got to be on a grid. Got to have the man do it. Ooh, we don't know if we should say this on the air, but I just want to know, did you get a permit for that cistern, boy?
What cistern?
Exactly. You know, but how do they do that? You're out in the Lone Prairie. How do they know when you add on something, do something? How do they even know?
I don't know.
Satellite.
Probably.
You know, they do. This is what happens.
I think I'm going to have to put a painted camouflage.
Well, what they do is they take a satellite picture of your land. They don't go out looking for everything. They look at it from the top. They got satellite and computers that compare images. You know, if they see if there's a structure, ding, 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 ding. Go look over here. There's a new structure. Well, what is that structure? It looks like you got kind of roof on something. What up with that? You know, this is how they do it. They need to be able to tax you more, you know. So we put some dirt on top. go get Bob. I'm sorry, man. That outed you. You're collecting water. That's illegal. Oh, in Colorado.
Yeah, this place is illegal to collect
rainwater. It's illegal to collect rainwater off
your
house in Colorado. Ill-freaking-legal. Why? Because that rainwater belongs to the government.
Somebody downstream.
And I'm going, are you freaking serious? They are. In Tucson, I remember seeing a story they did on local news about a gentleman that all he ever did was collect the water whenever it, you know, does rain here in Arizona off of his roof and land and so on. And all he did is he just had like cooler pads or, you know, air conditioner filters or something over a little hole where it drained in. It just drained out, you know, filtered out the big chunks of whatever, you know, rocks and stuff. Went into a cistern. He lived off that cistern year round just from the rainwater in the desert. This is not as hard as they would have you believe, but you don't know because you never looked. You never tested. You never saw. You know what happens when it rains? One time, a thunderstorm here, boom, we got more water than we know what to do with for about a day. And then it goes. Well, that's what happens with our reservoirs. They fill up, and we can go 7 years without rain. You know, it's 5, 6, 7 years they start going, the drought in Arizona, the drought. Oh, we got to have the government kind of drought. And then it rains again. Damn it. Can't use that one again. We do that all the time. It's just, the lies. The lies, the misinformation, the non-information. And then you have an entire generation that has the exponential accumulation of information that's just available to Bob's sons. You know, your two little sons, Robert and Danny, man, are they going to be at 6 years old? Are they going to be uninformed?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. They're going to go over to their friend's house and wonder why they don't have to, you know, start a generator at night. Or if they're ever over there and they have a blackout, they'll be wondering, like, well, don't you get batteries? You know, those kind of things. They're going to learn all about that. They go through that on a daily basis, and they don't see the way we live as being
abnormal.
Abnormal. It's just the way things are done.
Yeah, we
and they don't do without. You know, we get the big screen TV and the Wii, and you know, they sit there and they just don't. They won't see it as being an inconvenience, because it's not.
No, that was the promise you made to your wife. You know, you will not suffer. But, you know, the thing is that it's I remember when you were first building everything out there, the hottest summer, I mean, it was 123 degrees. They were not even taking off airplanes at Sky Harbor because they were rated up to 120. They wouldn't take off because they didn't, you know, it'd blow up at the end of the runway or something. I mean, they didn't know that's not rated that. They had to wait till it cooled down. That summer, he lived in a travel trailer with your wife, and you just had the baby, right?
Just had Robert, yeah.
And they were out there, dang. Don't open the door. It was called Moon Base Robert.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but they had a pipeline for gasoline broke somewhere down by Tucson, and we didn't think we'd get gasoline to run the generator.
All right. We'll go ahead and start taking calls. 800-313-9443. First, let's go to Ryan in Utah. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
More than wonderful. And you?
Thanks. I love your show. Thanks for what you guys do. I love hearing you. This subject is really fascinating to me, and I've wanted to build an off-grid homestead for years, and I've looked for land and locations and kind of a long search. But I got a question. I guess for your guest.
He gets ulcers in anticipation of your question.
Go ahead.
have you gone into maybe exploring like fueling your own vehicles with? I've heard of people building like a solar steel to create hydrogen.
Yeah, you know those things.
Where they're creating it at home, and then they can run their cars off it, and things like that. Have you explored much of that?
I've read about it so that I have the knowledge in my head. So if the knowledge were to disappear tomorrow, it's archived where I can access it. But you know, bottom line comes next. I have a lot of my friends say that because I run a diesel generator during the summertime for my air conditioning. And, you know, they're going, well, you could biodiesel and go collect, the vegetable oil from restaurants and convert it. And all that's actually, it's very viable to do. And I could do it. But luckily right now, I'm in a position I'm in economically that and my time is valued and I have other things to do that it's just much easier for me to have the oil truck come and bring me diesel from petroleum diesel. It's not that you couldn't do it, but understand it's like anything else, growing your own food and all. There is investment of work in it, and you have to do a cost plus or a cost analysis.
Well, what about the Brown's
it?
Gas thing? I mean, that's one thing he's talking about is cracking water and making Brown's gas and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you've researched some of that stuff.
Yeah, I've researched it. I haven't put any practical experiment on it to see how it works. But, I mean, most of those things are all, augments. They say you can run that with diesel, and it'll actually make the diesel run better, and kind of like running propane with diesel. They say it'll actually make it burn better and burn cleaner, and you get more bang for your buck out of it. Those are all,
Me and my brother maybe it was 08 when gas around my town was over $4 a gallon. We put those little jar systems you see all the time on the internet with the little, turning water into hydrogen and then you.
Yeah, no, we've had good friends. Barry Hess running for governor as a Libertarian here did it. Mike Duggar, a good friend of ours that is a postal carrier in South Phoenix here, he did it. They were looking, they're going, yeah, we got an increase in gas mileage, man, and they keep going up. It'll come back again.
Yeah, you can. My second question is, I wonder if either of you have heard of this. I was told if you put carbon, maybe it's coal or little pieces of carbon you get at the pet store for filters, you put that in a greenhouse, for example, it creates rain. Like my friend would put it in a small aquarium for a chameleon because they need it to be humid, and a little piece of carbon would create a rain. I mean, obviously it rains because it's like a little greenhouse, but it would create more rain and more of a system. And then they told him, don't put more carbon because you'll flood them. He put a big piece of carbon in it. It flooded in his greenhouse.
You know, are the things, Ryan. I don't know. Have you done anything like that?
I haven't
that?
Heard about that, but it'd be interesting to do some
reading.
Yeah,
Ryan, I'll tell you. And thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate you calling. 800-313-9443. You know, there are so many things like this that we did not know 10 years ago. When Bob went out there, we're like, you first, man. Go. You need some help? We go out there and help him, like, pour concrete, which we did at, semi-average job. We go out and help him build different things, like building techniques that we wanted to do. We'd have different materials that we would use. We'd do all kinds of different things. just to learn. This is where the value is, the wealth is. It's knowledge. Humanity has accumulated so much knowledge that you're not getting into mandatory youth indoctrination camps. Why?
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
The weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Yeah, Father, help us. We need some guidance from above. Where is the love? It's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Mr. Robert Anderson. You know, the one thing I'll tell you, the reason that I'm able to do this for as long as I have, my wife and I, my children, my friends, and all of us doing this, is because we've made it fun. You know, have we enjoyed ourselves doing this? I mean, we feel, you know, good about it. I mean, you've run for Congress a couple of times. Oh, yeah. You know, just it's just been, you know, yeah, of course we know how bad they are. That frees us up to be as hardcore as we are. We're going, look, man, you so need somebody to slap you guys around because it's just so bad. Well, if you're not having fun, what are you doing? You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
So we've enjoyed ourselves, and it's good that, you know, I wanted to have – I called Bob, and I said, I need some Bob time. I'm going to, you know, Nashville, St. Louis. We'll spend some time together today because Bob and I have been doing this for a long time together, and we understand what it's really about. And I just need to get my Bob recharge and going out and kind of, you know, we're seeing things the way they really are. And when you go in the media, you go to, you know, even political events, you go to, it's all this generation of just crap. And I'll tell you the one main thing that they want to do. They want you to doubt yourself. They want you to think, man, am I doing the right? I'm not really, you know, freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? If you focus on that, all the other stuff just kind of, you know, goes away. You know, there are those that just won't be left alone, those that just won't leave them alone. Well, one of the ways to declare your independence is not be dependent. Well, Bob's a freaking neon flashing example of that. And his family, so your kids are, how old are the boys now, the young ones?
6 and 7.
6 and 7, and what decision have you guys made about school? I mean, you've been going to the public schools out there.
Yeah,
as well.
They're basically, Danny graduated kindergarten this year, and we're going to start serious homeschooling. I mean, we've done the kind of half homeschool thing, half you know, public school thing, just so the kids could get out, get a little socialized and see what was kind of going on. But, you know, from the amount of homeschooling that we have done, you know, when they're at home, we make sure that they're getting what we think they need to get over and above what the public school system has been giving them. And they're doing really well. They're you know, bright kids, and we have decided that, you know, instead of sending them, you know, hours away on a school bus because they're changing their school because they got some grant from the, you know, the government to redo their school. They're closing it. Going to stick my kids on a bus for, you know, an extra hour a day so they can go to some other school. We're like, we can just do a far better job in way less time doing it ourselves. And they'll learn what we want them to learn. And, you know, I think we got a pretty good...
No! They're not allowed to learn what you want them to learn.
Yeah, we got a pretty good idea what we want them to learn.
Obama wants them to learn! You need to learn what the... I don't know, the village says.
Yeah, we're going to do
Hillary's going to do it.
We're going to do chemistry. Hand me that chemistry bottle. Here, thank you.
That pretend chemistry bottle. You know, this is, I'm telling you, this is pretend high-octane alcohol here, man. It's like drinking pretend wine. You know, I want to make sure that you guys understand, we've been doing this a long time. Bob and I have grown up together as adults and families and doing, we're just, and but we started from a base. You know, we weren't distracted by shiny objects. You know, it's just, that's what Charles Goyette always says. Oh, it's always the shiny objects, shiny objects. Look at the shiny objects. We're not distracted by that. We know where the goal is, and we know what they do not want you to see. They do not want you to see the truth. And the truth is they want you to be a slave. Don't be a slave. Declare your independence, and you don't even need a government form.